Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Listener, what you're about to hear is a twin episode to a pretty infamous episode of Black Label called the Baki Tapes. That episode can't and will not be published here. That is because it's too graphic for the main feed. With that said, this episode does get graphic, at least from a description point of view. So, if you feel uncomfortable with descriptions of sexual abuse, or you have troubles with suicidal ideation, this may not be the episode for you. For everyone else, let's get on with it.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
Different episode planned. None of this is going to be scripted. It's not quite fireside chat, but it's not quite a full episode either. It's more of an open dialogue. One of the episodes that frequently is brought up as one of the tougher episodes of Obscura to get through is the Baki Tapes episode. I believe it's episode 2 of Black Label. Now, when I created Black Label, that I knew was something I wanted to touch on, was sort of my evolving thoughts on the porn industry and some of the horrors I had ran into online myself. Because the unfortunate fact regarding that discussion is you usually get pitted into two corners when discussing it. At least back then. I think things have changed a bit more and there's more nuance now in the discussion, but it either was you were 100% in the camp of all porn is evil, all sex work is evil, etc., or you were in the camp of all of it's fine, there's no issues with the industry, and there's nothing worth discussing here. And, well, I landed somewhere in the middle, right? More of a gray area. And so before I continue into what is a sort of semi-sequel, like I said, an open dialogue. There might be a full episode eventually. We'll see. I want to state that I have zero issue with the idea of consensual adults getting together, filming something, and then selling it, whether it be sex or not. It's not my business. In fact, without getting too detailed, one of my wife's closest friends is in the industry. I have no issue with any sex workers. If anything, it's the industry problem that's the trouble. And the system in place that allows young women in particular, to be exploited.
That's why even like some girls that maybe were a little less like conventionally attractive, it's like if they could take a lot of pain and a lot of abuse on camera, they were way more valuable. They want the suffering.
And so why am I talking about this today? Like, what brought me into the room to set up the microphone and talk about something that I haven't talked about in a long time?
And there was even something about financial extortion that took place where, like, even though I really didn't want to do porn anymore, like, those last few shoots that I did, I had to do them, like, just for the money.
I woke up this morning and I was working on another episode, and I don't know, like, what got into me, but I was like, you know, maybe it's time to start looking into doing that sequel to that episode. And so there was a woman I spoke with in the past about potentially doing an interview for the episode that was going to be potentially a major part of the episode even. Well, I woke up today and found out that she died. She had agreed to do an interview eventually, but this was years ago. And she didn't only die, she hung herself at the age of 26.
Up to 90% of women in the commercial sex industry have histories of sexual abuse. That is not a coincidence. Obviously, not everyone who's sexually abused goes on to be in the commercial sex industry, but the reality is that a large majority of people in the commercial sex industry share this history. The thing with sexual abuse, childhood sexual abuse, is it really erodes a person of their boundaries. As a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, I can tell you that my no was taken from me. I didn't have the option of no. My personal boundaries were eroded.
The shame and humiliation of everything she was put through was too much. And I suppose it finally caught up to her, and that was the end. I believe, let me check here. Yeah, she was 26. It happened on April 4th of this year. And her name was Catherine, or Katie.
You have the issue of the way the commercial sex industry and pornography impacts your identity. There is this sense that you're forever marked and changed, and that you can't get out and live some kind of normal life. And with porn specifically, some of the barriers are many of the women that we serve, you know, they're wanting to go and go on job interviews, and they're in situations where literally people will say, oh, I recognize you from your videos. I've seen you. And then now it's going around the workplace that, oh, this person was in porn. And then unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there who have really predatory mindsets and, you know, would see someone who maybe has that history as like an easy mark for re-victimization. But it's just very unfortunate that, you know, people will interact with you based on who they think you are because of this, you know, piece of your life and piece of your experiences.
So when I reached out to her, it was because she had done an Ask Me Anything on Reddit. And it was one of the earliest examples of people involved in Girls Do Porn basically admitting to some shady stuff going on in that company.
Meanwhile, a porn producer is sentenced to 20 years in custody for conspiracy and sex trafficking charges, which are tied to a local website. Ruben Garcia pleaded guilty last year to the federal charges. He is one of six people accused of recruiting young girls to be featured on the pornographic website GirlsDoPorn.com. Now, prosecutors say Garcia and his co-defendants lied to the victims, claiming those videos would only be distributed privately rather than online. The website and its operators were also sued by 22 women featured in its videos, with a San Diego judge awarding them nearly $13 million at the end of the civil trial. The site's co-creator, Michael James Pratt, still remains at large, with a reward of up to $10,000 available for information leading to his arrest.
It essentially was a company created to trick younger women into signing contracts for pornography.
So I have multiple big men in the room. I'm 5'5", don't have my phone, and they're like, okay, take your clothes off.
Luring them into cheap motels, and then without them fully being aware of what they were getting into, being placed with a very hardcore male model.
Michael Pratt needs a picture to make sure you are who you say you are. That's when I really felt terrified and began to panic. And eventually they stripped me not by my choice. I didn't know if they would kill me.
Right.
I was quite terrified of that.
That would just ravish them for hours. We're talking hours and hours and hours, like 12 hours of shooting.
And then it got more and more threatening. And then like, oh, do you want me to hurt you now? Do you want it to be rougher? And every time I didn't look like I was enjoying it, they would refilm the scene. From like 9 p.m. till 4 in the morning, I was raped. They took breaks and told me I had to refilm scenes.
And of course, they would cut out the wiping away of blood and makeup being placed over bruises, and some of the women would try to escape.
I tried to run naked from the hotel room at one point. I was physically shoved back, and there was someone outside of the door. I didn't even make it to the door.
But they were so young and, you know, and this isn't an insult, naive. You know, everyone's naive at like 18 years old, right? They were so young and naive that they thought that the contract that they signed legally obligated them to be in what was essentially a hostage situation.
I said, fuck you, I'm not doing anything else.
Right.
And they're like, oh, then we'll put everything on the internet that we have right now with your full name, or we'll send it to your parents. Do you want them to find out? Yeah, eventually I just wanted it to be over, so eventually I did what they said.
Yeah.
And when the raping did finally stop, when they finally got what they wanted, I locked myself in the bathroom. And I eventually, it was starting to get light at that point. And I eventually came out, and they had ordered room service and were sitting there eating burgers and French fries, watching TV.
And the woman who died, Katie, she mentioned in the Ask Me Anything about how she asked them to stop filming on several occasions, how uncomfortable she was, how painful it was. And then they finally told her that she either had to do anal or condom off. And she said she took anal because she didn't want to get AIDS and then experience some of the worst pain she's ever felt in her life. Followed by that information getting out, because all these women were led to believe that these recordings were for a private collection. Well, they were taking these videos and putting them on a very public website. So people in her hometown recognized her when watching the video, and they started spreading her docs information on the internet. And then everyone in her family, everyone she had ever dated, everyone in her college knew that she had been in this tape. Now, I want you to keep in mind that for her, this is her lowest moment. This is essentially being her raped on camera, right? Being told she can't leave. She was flown out there with the idea that she was going to be doing modeling. And then when she gets in there, they're like, we're going to give you $2,000 and you could either take it or leave it, but you got to find out how to get back home. And so that was one of the ways that they pushed these women along. They'd say, well, you're already this far, right? So it'd start with, you know, fellatio or a blowjob. And then they'd be like, well, you know, you've already done this. Now do this. Now do this. And it was a grooming process that took course over an entire day. And they'd start telling them, well, it says in your contract you have to do what we say. And so if you leave without money, but good luck getting home and explaining to your parents. And so these young women, these like 18 to like 21 year olds, who were often in some sort of college, who thought they were going to get paid for some type of modeling gig. Well, yeah, their lowest moments were recorded. And then at the time they came out, it was before we had had these discussions. And so all these people are just watching her on camera in a 45 minute version of her 12 hours of hell. And now everyone she meets judges her based off that footage. Yeah, she had children later as well, and was frequently asked, what are you going to tell your children? I suppose the shame or, you know, whatever got to her, and she, on April 4th of this year, hung herself until death. And it's a horrible thing. And I even feel a level of guilt because I never got to interview her. I imagine she felt pretty alone in her experience, because when I found out about her death, it was just from looking her up again, because I wanted to potentially do the interview. And now I've spent the whole morning feeling pretty awful. Yeah, pretty awful. And I've kind of debated back and forth even doing a follow-up to that episode, because I don't know what else there is to say, and whether there would even necessarily be a purpose in a follow-up episode, because I'm not sure. When I made that first Black Label, it was out of a sense of frustration, of kind of growing up in this era, where you had all these people on Reddit, and just even on TV and everything, being like, no, porn is cool, and there's no negative consequences, and there's no side effects, and it's all fun and games, and there's no dark side to it. You know, it's all consenting adults here. And then I found out, no, A, it's not all consenting adults. There are a lot of women being taken advantage of, be it A, their financial situation in life, and out of a sense of desperation, B, being tricked into it, and basically consent being taken away, or C, them being groomed into more and more extreme acts.
I met a guy who was about 14 years older than me, so he was in his late 20s at the time. So he started trafficking me for sex when I was 14 years old. By the time I got to that point...
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Listener, it being the holidays, sometimes my finances can take a hit. There have been times where I've had to borrow money that took a while to recover from financially. And we've all been there, spending more than we should during the holidays. Take control of your finances by using a Chime checking account with features like no monthly or maintenance fees, fee-free overdraft up to $200, or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Learn more at chime.com/obscura. I've had times during the holidays where it's gone as far to where I've overdrafted, but if I was with Chime, they would have allowed me to overdraft up to $200 with no fees. Join millions of Chime members who are working on financial progress. Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawal. No monthly fees or maintenance fees, and over 50,000 fee-free ATMs. To date, Chime has spotted members over $32 billion in transactions through SpotMe. Friends give friends a boost. Eligible members get complimentary boosts to temporarily increase friends' SpotMe limit. When you give a boost, they can boost you back to temporarily raise your limit. Here's how it works. Set up direct deposit in your Chime account. After a qualifying direct deposit of $200 plus, Chime will notify you to enroll in SpotMe. With an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to $200 on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. Your next direct deposit is applied to your negative balance. Chime never charges overdraft fees for using SpotMe. Enjoy the holidays while keeping your financial goals on track with Chime. Open your account in 2 minutes at chime.com/obscura. That's chime.com/obscura. Chime. Feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank, N.A., or Stride Bank, N.A., members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirement and overdraft fee limits apply. Direct deposit timing depends on submission of payment file. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs and for OTC withdrawals. So when I made the Baki tapes, that's what I wanted to sort of open in people's minds. Like, I wanted to show two very severe cases in which it's not disputable. And what a lot of people don't know is leading up to that episode, I interviewed a lot of porn stars, including former porn stars and the girl from the first half of that episode. And she was very sweet and nice, and she was fine with me using the content for that episode. And I think I did a pretty good job getting the point across. And there were a lot of people like, that was disgusting, I had to turn it off. And I was like, good. Yes, good. Thank you. It is disgusting. But the reason why I was able to find this stuff is you can go on Reddit of people seeking it out.
So I do remember quite a few times when either photos or videos were taken of what was happening to me inside those hotel rooms. And it just kind of became a normal piece of what was going on. It wasn't something that set up red flags. That was a way that he had groomed me beforehand.
So I started this episode talking about Kate and how she took her life, a 26-year-old mother. Well, Kate, she was studying in college to be an aerospace engineer, straight-A student, had her whole life ahead of her. And now her sort of legacy is people on Reddit seeking out her scene. You can go online, you can type the name of her scene and her full name on Google and Reddit. The first thing that's going to come up is her Ask Me Anything, where she talked about the way that essentially traumatized her and she was tricked into it and she was tricked to progress into more extreme acts and that she bled and she was in pain and that how her whole family found out and how she had to find a significant other okay with it and how it still keeps her up at night. But the second thing that you're going to find is Reddit threads where people are talking about how that's one of their favorite scenes because for them, her uncomfortable expressions, her looks of pain, her tears, that shows them that the scene isn't fake.
When you're in pain, you smile. When I used to have hardcore, and not just me, some Slavic actresses also, audience must all think it always okay. Mm-hmm. Because if audience will see you in cry or something like this, they will not watch it and maybe you will not be popular. So when you're in pain, you smile.
That to them shows that it's more real. These are a lot of people that have progressed from the softer, more gentler scenes, and now they're seeking out that extreme content to feed the need, essentially. Their addiction has gotten to a point where they need to know that that person in the scene is actually feeling something, whether it be pain or not. And so you can find Reddit threads of people recommending her scene to this day and saying like, yeah, go watch it. The scene is unbelievable. They got a real response out of this 18-year-old by abusing her for 12 hours. I did save a thread and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I thought about reading the whole thing, but it was a post to Ourself on Reddit. And it was someone who admitted to watching her scene frequently, right up until they got the news that she had died. So he had read the Reddit thread, he had read the Ask Me Anything thread, and he still watched the scene just to sort of get his jollies from it, despite knowing all the trauma it did to this young woman. But it wasn't until her death by suicide by hanging that this Reddit user on Self was completely flooded with guilt for having frequently made this a regular scene that they watched. And they were admitting on this thread that they have a lot of progress they realize to make on their own personal self, and that they themselves are now considering quitting pornography because they now consider this, what they were up to, not fitting in with the rest of their character. And so this sort of addiction they had that led them to basically finding rape on tape led them to this place where, wow, this girl's dead now. And I was using her body for my own self-interest, whether she was aware of it or not. I felt like getting on here and doing this, if anything, out of a duty to Kate in this situation, she didn't deserve all that she went through, and she didn't deserve the loneliness she probably felt and having experienced it. But the one good news I will say to end this episode on is that the people behind Girls Do Porn, most of them are now behind bars. With the main creator, I believe he was a fugitive for a long time, having been caught.
Officials say Michael Pratt, the owner of the website Girls Do Porn, lied and coerced hundreds of young women to appear in pornographic videos. He was first charged back in 2019 with sex trafficking crimes and was an international fugitive until his arrest back in 2022. Today, he stood before a judge and pleaded not guilty to the charges.
It was a tough fight to get to this point.
After his arrest in Spain in 2022, Michael Pratt appeared in a San Diego courtroom today, more than 4 years after federal prosecutors charged him for his role in a commercial sex trafficking ring.
Having heard so many of the stories, we knew what they were doing was criminal.
Prosecutors say Pratt tricked young women and at least one minor to appear in pornographic videos by luring them through modeling job ads posted on Craigslist and other websites. Most of the videos were made in San Diego. The women were told the videos would not be posted online, but that too was a lie. One of those women spoke to CBS 8 last year.
It's degrading, honestly. Everybody seeing me in my most vulnerable state and not knowing the backstory.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.